مولانا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاك الله خير. Once again, مولانا حبيب, lovely connecting with you in the studios, and it's great, you know, having the opportunity to interact with our listeners and viewers once again as we move along in the month of Ramadan and we try and unpack some of the amazing mysteries of the Quran Kareem, inshallah. So yesterday, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, yesterday we concluded on the note of discipline. If the listeners can recall, we concluded on the tale and the incident of Talut, and when they were crossing over a river, and the message there was that those who will not drink and abstain and restrain despite their thirst, then they will manage, they will have strength, they will have clout. And those who will succumb and they will drink, it aggravated their thirst and immediately they became lame, lethargic and sluggish. And just to develop on that thought and take it a little forward before we commence with today's tafsir. So Allah Ta'ala in the Quran has referred to Qiyamah with many names. At times Allah has referred to it as Yawm al-Jam'i, the day of assembly. Then Allah has referred to it as Yawm al-Talaq, the day of mutual meeting. Then Allah has referred to it as Yawm al-Taghabun, the day of victory and defeat. Then Allah has referred to it as Yawm al-Tanad, the day of mutual slogans. وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ الْأَعْرَافِ رِجَالًا. People will be calling out, screaming out, yelling out. Then Allah has referred to it as Yawm al-Azifa, the approaching day, the fast approaching day. وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْآزِفَةِ إِذِ الْقُلُوبُ لَدَى الْحَنَاجِرِ كَاظِمِينَ. Then Allah has referred to it as tomorrow, the actual tomorrow. You know, when you sometimes want to threaten someone, wait, you'll see tomorrow. Tomorrow you'll meet your Moses. There's a tomorrow to come. So Allah says, سَيَعْلَمُونَ غَدًا مَنِ الْكَذَّابُ الْأَشِرُ. Tomorrow they will know who's the liar. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْذُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. Let each man, and this again the scholars tell us, that wherever Allah impresses upon us to do something, then Allah gives us a plan of action. So Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. O you who believe, fear Allah. Allah, how must we fear you? وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Learn to speak correctly. Learn for your, let your speech be correct. Let your speech be accurate. Let your speech be precise. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah. O you who believe, fear Allah. Allah, how should we fear you? Wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat lighad. Let each soul reflect over what he or she has prepared for tomorrow. And one of the many names of Qiyamah is Yawm al-Hasra, the day of true regret. You know, in life we regret. فَأَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَى مَا أَنْفَقَ فِيهَا وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَى عُرُوشِهَا. Where Allah speaks about the tale of two brothers, according to the footnotes of Jalalain, they had inherited a legacy of 8,000 dinars. They divided it 4,000 each. One developed this world, the other one invested it in Akhirah. And the tale continues, we read it in Surah Kahf. In the end, the one who developed this world because of his pride and his arrogance, فَقَالَ لَهُ صَاحِبُهُ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ أَن يُفَاخِرُهُ. Jalalain writes, he was saying to his brother, أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. Listen, I have muscle, I have wealth, I have an army, I have an entourage. So one of the names of the day of Qiyamah is the day of regret. And the regret of Akhirah will be the most intense, simply because there's no measure for atonement. So if a person regrets and there is some recourse, or you can atone, or you can expiate, or you can compensate, then you can do damage control and you can minimize the impact of your regret. But when your regret is of a level that there's simply no way to address, or there's no recourse, and the consequences of that regret is catastrophic, at times it would land you up in hell permanently and at times momentarily. So let us take this to heed, and let us not be amongst those people who will regret on the day of Qiyamah. Let us not be amongst those, because that is one of the names of the day of Qiyamah. وَأَنذِرْهُمْ, and warn them, يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَ, of the day of true regret, true regret. And that is why we need to seize this opportunity, exploit this opportunity, capitalize on this opportunity, that we connect ourselves with the Quran, so that inshallah we do not have regrets on the day of Qiyamah. We move on with the third juz, and we are still dealing with Suratul Baqarah. So Baqarah, like that, means cow, and this is what we refer to as Tasmiyatul Kul bi Ismil Juz, where the entire chapter is labeled around one tale that is discussed in the chapter. So the entire chapter doesn't feature that particular name, but yes, in the entire chapter, in the entire surah, it does get discussed. Although it doesn't cover the entire surah from the beginning to the ending, but we are still discussing Surah Baqarah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, one day I joined the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in salah, and then he started reciting, and I thought probably after Surah Baqarah he will go into ruku. And then he commenced Surah Ali Imran, and he went further on. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, whose name is synonymous to Quran, he said, Hatta hamamtu bi amrin su'in, until I started entertaining an unpleasant thought. And what was an unpleasant thought for them was to end the salah. By the definition and the description of Sahaba that I'm reading behind the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he went right through Surah Baqarah. Can you imagine that recitation, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam reciting? What would have been that euphoria? I often quote these couplets which are in Bukhari Sharif of Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu, who sketched the image, and he explained the feel, and he explained the scenario. وَفِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَتْلُو كِتَابَهُ إِذَا انشَقَّ مَعْرُوفٌ مِّنَ الْفَجْرِ سَاطِعُ أَرَانَ الْهُدَى بَعْدَ الْعَمَى فَقُلُوبُنَا بِهِ مُوقِنَاتٌ أَنَّمَا قَالَ وَاقِعُ يَبِيتُ يُجَافِي جَنْبَهُ عَنْ فِرَاشِهِ إِذَا اسْتَثْقَلَتْ بِالْمُشْرِكِينَ الْمَضَاجِعُ. O people, وَفِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. We were so fortunate that amongst us was the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. In Surah Hujurat, in the 26th juz, in the chapter of apartments, Allah reminds the Sahaba that remember the honor and the privilege amongst you is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, the brain just shuts down, the body freezes to begin to imagine the richness of this accolade and the greatness of this bounty and blessing that in your midst. How often Sahaba's gathering was interrupted. We just wait, and you look, and revelation is in process. Revelation is in process. That is why Safiya radiallahu anha said, وَاللَّهِ لَا أَبْكِ النَّبِيَّ لِمَوْتِهِ وَلَكِنْ لِهَرَجٍ كَانَ بَعْدَكَ آتِيًا. O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am not lamenting your demise as much as I'm lamenting the tragedies that will rock the planet post your demise. After you leave, the havoc and the chaos and the mayhem that will reign on this earth, that is what concerns me. فَلَوْ أَنَّ رَبَّ الْعَرْشِ أَبْقَاكَ بَيْنَنَا سَعِدْنَا وَلَكِنْ أَمْرُهُ كَانَ مَاضِيًا. If Allah prolonged your life, we would substitute it, and our lives are ready to be put down so that you could be granted an extension in life. But then again, that's the decree and that's the pattern and the rhythm of life, that when it has been decided a soul, the time has ended, then every soul has to leave. So Abdullah ibn Rawaha says, وَفِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَتْلُو كِتَابًا إِذَا انشَقَّ مَعْرُوفٌ مِّنَ الْفَجْرِ سَاطِعُ. It's the Nabi of Allah reciting Quran as the crack of dawn and the flush of dawn in the precincts of the Kaaba. إِذَا انشَقَّ مَعْرُوفٌ مِّنَ الْفَجْرِ سَاطِعُ أَرَانَ الْهُدَى بَعْدَ الْعَمَى. He showed us the path of guidance after blindness. فَقُلُوبُنَا, we were deviated, we didn't have the guidance. The hadith is in Bukhari, Abu Raja Utaridi, he is a tabi'i, it's in the second volume. He says, كُنَّا نَعْبُدُ حَجَرًا فَإِذَا وَجَدْنَا حَجَرًا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ أَلْقَيْنَاهُ وَأَخَذْنَا الْآخَرِ. Our condition was such, we would pick up a stone that had some attraction, that had some glitter, had some glamour. We would revere it, we would honor it, we would salute it. And occasionally, if we seen something with a greater attraction, we were quick to abandon our first god and embrace a second one. That was the condition in which we were. عَرَانَ الْهُدَى بَعْدَ الْعَمَى فَقُلُوبُنَا بِهِ مُوقِنَاتٌ أَنَّمَا قَالَ وَاقِعُ. We convinced without doubt on the veracity of the message of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Abdullah ibn Huzafa radiallahu anhu was apprehended by the Roman emperor, he said, I will give you my kingdom and my empire if you're ready to abandon and forsake your faith. He said, لو أعطيتني ما تملك وما ملكته العرب على أن أرجع عن دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم طرفة عين ما فعلت.
listen, the offer you made is very trivial. You offering me half of your kingdom and your empire and your dominion. If you were to give me whatever you own and whatever the Arab rulers and monarchs and kings own, and you ask me to forsake the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not permanently, momentarily, even that is not something I will entertain, leave alone surrender to. That was yaqeen. That was yaqeen. That was conviction. فَقُلُوبُنَا بِهِ مُوقِنَاتٌ مُوقِنَاتٌ أَنَّمَا قَالَ وَاقِعُ يَبِيتُ He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يُجَافِي جَنْبَهُ عَنْ فِرَاشِهِ He spends the night away from his bed. تَتَجَافَ تَتَبَاعَد تَتَجَافَ تَتَبَاعَد تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ Again, it's a verse we read in Surah Al-Sajdah, and it's a surah that is more frequently recited. Their beds, their sides separate from their bed, meaning they glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا اسْتَثْقَلَتْ بِالْمُشْرِكِينَ الْمَضَاجِعُ When it becomes difficult for the polytheists to leave their beds and to come out, that is the time the pious communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عَجِبْتُ مِنْ جِسْمٍ وَمِنْ صِحَّةٍ وَمِنْ فَتَنْ نَامَ إِلَى الْفَجْرِ وَالْمَوْتُ لَا تُؤْمَنُ خَطَفَاتُهُ فِي ظُلَمِ اللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسْرِي The poet says, I am really disappointed with a young man, a healthy man, an able and active man. He spends the entire night, without devoting a portion of that night to the ibadat of Allah. Abu Isma Bayhaqi says, بِتُّ لَيْلَةً عِنْدَ أَحْمَدَ بْنَ حَنْبَلْ I spent one night by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. So he left some water for me, that during the course of the night, probably when I stand up for nocturnal prayer, I could offer the ablution, etc. In the morning he observed that the water was just as he had left it. He said, Subhanallah, رَجُلٌ يَتَعَلَّمُ الْعِلْمَ لَا يَكُونُ لَهُ وِرْدٌ مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ Someone who's engaged in the acquisition of Islamic sciences and his night is not flavored with nocturnal prayer or any vigil, that is quite contradictory to the engagement in which you find yourself. Abu Isma Bayhaqi makes mention of it. So anyway, as a preamble to today's tafsir, like every day I endeavor to just give a forward and a message, let us not be amongst those people that will have regret on the day of Qiyamah. So we commence with the tafsir of the third juz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up the discussion by saying, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ So this is the galaxy of the prophets. فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ We have granted superiority to some over others. So our understanding and our aqidah is that the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam rank above the Sahaba. Every Nabi ranks above the hadith where Abu Darda radiallahu anhu walked ahead of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, are you walking ahead? أو كما قال, are you walking ahead of a person that ما طلعت الشمس على أحد بعد النبيين أفضل من أبي بكر. ما طلعت الشمس على أحد بعد النبيين أفضل من أبي بكر. How can you step ahead of a person that the sun has not risen? Either it's the call of Abu Darda رضي الله عنه, or it is a hadith. I stand for correction. Are you stepping ahead of a person that the sun has not risen on a more noble human after the Anbiya than Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه? So the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam are the noblest of mankind. It is our aqeedah that we show absolute respect and regard to the entire fraternity of Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. Qadi Abu Bakr rahimahullah in his tafsir has made mentioned in places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used certain stern words regarding certain occasions where a Nabi erred. Now we are very sensitive when we address this. For example, Allah has used the word وَعَصَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى If a person just has shallow understanding of Arabic and he doesn't have detailed understanding and he's not familiar with the text of the Quran وَوَجَدَكَ ضَلًّا فَهَدَى he will translate these ayah totally out of context. And they will tell you that asa has many meanings, ghawa has many meanings. La yajuzu li ahad al-yawm. It's not correct for us to make any form of derogatory reference to any Nabi. So we as Muslims, it is our aqeedah, we respect every Nabi, whether it is Isa alayhi salam, peace be upon him, Musa alayhi salam, peace be upon him. In fact, there isn't a religion that shows so much regard to any Nabi. I'm not even talking about our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who of course is ana nabiyul anbiya. Mathali wa mathalul anbiya'i min qabli. Look at the beautiful analogy. Mathali wa mathalul anbiya'i min qabli. Ka mathali rajulin bana bayta. فأجمله وأحسنه إلا موضع لبنة في زاوية فجعل الناس يطوفون به ويعجبون له ويقولون هل وضعت هذه. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, my example and the example of the prophets who preceded me is like a person who constructed one house. So this is the house of Nabuwat. And the house was completed, it was perfected, but there was one brick outstanding in one corner. So people came along, they started admiring this house, they said, this is amazing, this is brilliant, this is lovely, this is awesome. Why was the construction not concluded or completed? And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I am the final brick to conclude the house of Prophethood. There is no Nabi after me. So it is imperative that we instill in our children's hearts the love, the respect, the reverence and the honor of Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. We consider and regard every Nabi to be an august personality. Tilka rusulu faddalna ba'dahum ala ba'd. This is the galaxy of Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. Our faith rests on the principles of adab. Our deen is rich with mannerism and is rich with etiquettes. Ad-deenu kulluhu adab. Our faith is all about adab and respect. There's so many examples that we could cite from Quran, how we learn to interact with respect. The very famous hadith of Jibreel, where Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam, the chief angel, comes and meets with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَأَسْنَدَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَى رُكْبَتَيْهِ. He locks his knees into the knees of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. The most respectful gesture, as we would sit in the 2 units of prayer or after 4 units of prayer in the tashahud posture, that is the respectful posture, and that's the posture adopted by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam in the presence of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Minhum man kallam Allah. Among the galaxy of Anbiya were those whom Allah spoke to. And yeah, I often mention this in my humble talks, that the beauty of Islam is that Allah does not discriminate against any form of physical challenge that a person might experience. So sometimes a person is challenged in a particular way. For example, the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he had a stammer in his speech. When Allah Ta'ala sent him to Pharaoh, he said, oh my Lord, wala yantaliqu lisani, I don't have a flow in my speech. I don't have, ease of communication. I have a stammer. And then when I have to speak in front of an audience and in front of a tyrant ruler, it's all the more daunting and all the more challenging. فَأَرْسِلْ إِلَىٰ هَارُونَ. Send the message to Harun alayhi salam. وَأَخِيْ هَارُونُ هُوَ أَفْصَحُ مِنِّي لِسَانًا. And my brother Harun is more articulate than me. وَأَخِيْ هَارُونُ هُوَ أَفْصَحُ مِنِّي لِسَانًا. فَأَرْسِلْهُ مَعِيَ رِدْءًا أَيْ مُعِينًا. So send him along with me as a helper. And Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, under this ayah, in the 20th juz, he creates a little heading, and he says, فَصَاحَةِ kalam is matlub. Eloquence in speech is objective. Because Musa alayhi salatu wassalam did not intervene or intercede for Harun to come on his seniority. But rather he said on the strength of his eloquence. So he says, fasahat, these are his words, fasahat and eloquence is matloob or uski koshish madmoom nahi hai. And to develop the skill and the art of being articulate is not unpleasant, is not incorrect, is not sinful. So if a person is trying to develop the ability of speech to enhance his oratory abilities, primarily for the cause of deen, then that is fine. Of course, we will tell him there are so many other things to eat. That's not the be-all and that's not the end-all and that's not the ultimate. But we deduce this permissibility from this verse of the Quran. However, this is something to reflect. And that's what I was saying. Sometimes we need to address people who have certain physical challenges, and may Allah make it easy for every person. Now reflect over this, and that's the beauty of Islam. So Islam does not discriminate because of your color, or because of your ethnicity, or because of your complexion, or because of your status, or because of your wealth, etc. But rather Islam looks at your taqwa. لَا تَتْرُكِ التَّقْوَى اتِّكَالًا عَلَى النَّسَبِ فَقَدْ رَفَعَ الْإِسْلَامُ سَلْمَانَ فَارِسٍ وَقَدْ وَضَعَ الشِّرْكُ الشَّرِيفَ أَبَا لَهْبِ لَا تَتْرُكِ التَّقْوَى اتِّكَالًا عَلَى النَّسَبِ. Do not abandon piety, relying on the nobility of your lineage. I come from a good family. I don't need taqwa. Taqwa is for those that are poor and from humble beginnings. They need to, you know what, compensate for the shortfall in beauty and in wealth. They need to compensate for it by piety. No, no, no. لا تترك التقوى اتكالا على النسب. فقد رفع الإسلام سلمان فارس. Islam elevated the Persian Salman. وَقَدْ وَضَعَ الشِّرْكُ الشَّرِيفَ أَبَا لَهْبِ. And polytheism and kufr and disbelief dishonored the honorable Abu Lahab. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam had a stammer in his speech. He asked Allah to send Harun, and Allah approved his request. وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ مِنْ رَحْمَتِنَا أَخَاهُ هَارُونَ نَبِيًّا. And we granted him his brother out of our mercy. That is why the scholars say that Harun alayhi salam was also referred to as Hibatullah, the gift of Allah. The gift of Allah. Right? Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam, وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ نَافِلًا. Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam made dua for a son. So from Hajar he had Ismail, and Sarah radiallahu anha was desiring a child. So Allah blessed him with Ishaq, and Allah said, we gave him a bonus with Yaqub. Nafil in Arabic literally means additional, surplus. That is why nafil, you know. And now I have another academic thought that comes out. I don't know, should I just go to it? But I hope we're not getting too intricate here. So nafil, my mind just ran into this here. So Allah said Ishaq, وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ Ishaq, we blessed him with Ishaq, وَيَعْقُوب nafila. Nafila, as I mentioned, zaid, additional, surplus. So that is what nafil literally means. That's why we say nafil salah, it's surplus, it's additional, it's not mandatory, it's not obligatory. So Allah says regarding tahajjud, right? Aqim as-salata liduluki shamsi ila, and this is so amazing. This is Quran. I hope and I wish and I pray that I can adequately stimulate within us that passion to understand how profound and how amazing Quran is. So Allah told the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَىٰ غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ. And you know, whenever I quote this ayah, I get tears in my eyes. I get tears in my eyes because it takes me back to an incident that really makes me emotional. It was round about the late 80s when my honorable dad had enrolled me into a Hifz Madrasa. And I still remember the teacher saying, okay, we will examine the ability of your son and see if he qualifies to memorize the Quran. And that was the day they told me to memorize Aqim as-salata liduluki shams. And every time I come across this, I just tears, you know, well up in my eyes and trickle down my cheeks. And I say, Ya Allah, I remember that day sitting in that class and knowing not what you had decreed and ordained. وَمَا كُنْتَ تَرْجُوا أَن يُلْقَى إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ وَمَا كُنْتَ تَرْجُوا أَن يُلْقَى إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you did not anticipate or hope or expect that the Quran would be revealed to you. إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكَ. إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَمَا كُنْتَ تَرْجُوا أَن يُلْقَى إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ. But this was the sheer mercy of Allah. Anyway, Allah told the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ, مِنْ is تَبْعِيدِيَا, from a portion of the night, فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ, فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ, offer tahajjud, نَافِلَةً, this is additional, luck for you. Now the scholars of tafsir say, what is meant, or how do we understand that tahajjud salah is optional and additional for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, exclusive? So one explanation given is that initially tahajjud was mandatory, and ya nafilatan is in the meaning of it's compulsory. But the Ahl al-Lugha, they counter that, because nafil linguistically, grammatically, by the dictionary means extra, additional. It doesn't mean compulsory. So you're migrating from its original meaning to an uncommon meaning. I hope I'm you know, okay, I have people nodding their heads in the surgery, in the studio, so alhamdulillah, that's good. But this is the beauty which with the other tafsir that the scholars have mentioned. They say that nafilatan lak subhanallah, subhanallah, jazahumallahu anna khayral jaza. There's a whole write-up on this here. That, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tahajjud is nafil for you exclusively. It is surplus for you. It is additional for you. It is extra for you. Why? Because anybody else in the ummah who will perform nafil salah, this will be an atonement for the shortfall in his farad. But when it comes to you, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no shortfall. There is no shortfall. Look at the beauty of Quran. And wallahi, when you study it and you get into these pointers and these explanations, it just blows your mind away. So the verse of the Quran, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ, and from the night, فَتَهَجَّدْ, offer tahajjud bihi, نَافِلَةً لَكْ. This is additional, this is extra for you. How is it exclusive for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Like I often say to my son, sometimes he's going through the wallet and he's like, Abu, you got enough, and you know, the dream of a man, I've quoted it in many of my talks, he wishes as handsome as his mother thinks. Right? Every mother is moropoiro, you know what I mean? He's good looking, he's stunning. He wish he was as rich as his child believes. You know? I'm not going to mention the third one, it's on airwaves and it could have a potential backlash, so I will just stop there and there. Anyway, I often say to my son, I say, you know what, R100 or a $10 bill in your pocket is more than probably 10,000 in my pocket. Because that is nafilatan lak. That is nafilatan lak. That is free from responsibility. That is purely for you to just use and indulge. Whereas anything in my pocket or any man, you know, the man came home with his 13 check and he told his wife, I had my 13 check, and just then the freezer packed in. So the next year when he came with his bonus check, he took his wife one side and he whispered. So she said, why are you whispering that you got your bonus check? He's like, I don't want the microwave to hear. Right? So that's the irony of it, that whenever you have additional, it's Murphy's Law. Something unfortunately just dips at that time and you need to offset. But look at the beauty, the point I'm saying here. When you and I engage in nafil, and may Allah give us the ability to engage in nafil, it is there to offset the deficiency in our fara'id. But when it comes to Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everything was par excellence. Everything was absolutely at optimum. So nafal salah for our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was literally nafal. From where to where? Coming back to the point I was saying regarding Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam, I said hibatullah, he was the gift of Allah, and from there we went on to وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ, that Ibrahim was crying for a son, and Allah gave him the glad tidings, you're going to become a grandfather. And from this I must tell you something else. This is what the scholars have written. Many of the people of the book argue that Zabihullah was Isaac. I had a debate with a fellow Christian at a masjid once who came, and he was, you know, using different references, that they say the son that was slaughtered of Ismail alayhi salam, of Ibrahim, was not Ismail, but was Ishaq alayhi salam. And we know and believe that it is Ismail alayhi salam. And one amongst the many proofs that the ulama give that it was Ismail alayhi salam. By the way, Ismail means Allah has heard. Il means Allah. Isma' is derived from the word sami'a. That means Allah has responded to your prayer. Israel means Abdullah. Il means Allah. Isra means Abd. Right? Alhamdulillahi alladhi wahabali ala al-kibari Ismail wa Ishaq. All praise belongs to Allah who blessed me with Ismail in my old age. So the son was named Ismail, which means Allah heard. Allah responded. So the point I'm saying is that we believe Ismail alayhi salam was Dabihullah and not Ishaq. Why? Because Ibrahim was given the glad tidings that, listen, O Sarah, you will conceive and you will have a son, and your son will be Ishaq, and he will grow up, and he'll become a father, and he will have a son by the name of Yaqub. So she was already informed that this child will grow up to become a father. Hence, to put the knife on his neck would be futile because she knows he's going to live. I hope we're not getting too intricate here, and you know, we're reaching out to our... وَمِن وَرَاءِ إِسْحَاقَ يَعْقُوبُ وَمِن وَرَاءِ, and after Ishaq will be Ya'qub. So she was told. So if she knew by the promise of Allah that Ishaq will grow up, he will evolve, he will become an adult, and he will become a father, then obviously at the time of putting the knife on him, how would that be the test? So that is why, and of course, amongst other things also, but this is also one of the proof that we believe that it was not Isaac, it was not Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam, but rather it was Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. I have another thought that has come, but now I need to get on here, because we're not moving from the first ayah. So I was saying to you, my respected brothers, sisters, listeners, viewers, is that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam had a stammer in his speech. And hence he asked Allah, can my brother Harun come? And Allah approved his request. And he was granted the opportunity and he accompanied his brother. And here again, this is ayah of the Quran. Oh man. Idhhab. Listen to this. So Allah is putting these thoughts in my mind, and I'm grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I attribute that and credit that grace to the grace of Allah, and of course the du'as of my parents and my teachers. May Allah reward them all. Idhhab, the ulama say this one ayah carries within itself so many injunctions. Idhhab anta wa akhuka bi ayati wa la taniya fi dhikri. Idhhab tahdim as-salbiyya wa tabni an-nashat. The first thing, idhhab. Allah told Musa alayhi salam, go. So what's the message? Don't sit. Don't be lame. Don't be lethargic. The message to us, stand up, move, advance, go, do, achieve, aspire, accomplish. I always say that, and many people quote that, aspire to inspire before you expire. Idhhab, move, do. Take negativity out, sitting here, armchair critic, things are bad, there's a crisis, there's that. No, no. So where do we start off? Idhhab. So the ulama say, tabni al-nashat, wa tahdim al-salbiyya. Create within yourself vigor and destroy negativity. Anta wa akhuka, you and your brother. Tahdim al-fardiyya, wa tabni al-jama'iyya. Destroy this individual mentality. No, I'll do it myself. I'll do it. No, it's fine. I'm okay. Move together, pay up together, rally together, mobilize together, put your strength together, unite your abilities. That is where our strength lies. That is where our strength. One verse of the Quran. Idhhab, move, to achieve. Don't stagnate. Anta wa akhuka, you and your brother. So you and your brother is tahdim al-fardiyya wa tabni al-jama'iyya. Idhhab anta wa akhuka bi ayati. What's my signs? So, tahdim al-maddiyah. Tahdim al-maddiyah. Don't rely on materialism. Rely on divine strength. Rely on divine strength. Wala taniya, wala yani wanyan. Means to be lame, to be sluggish, to be lazy. Tahdim al-kasla. Take laziness out of you. Get rid of it. There was a student who was studying with us in the first year, and you know, fate had it that unfortunately he didn't make it across, and that was it. He used to say that laziness is worse than cancer. Laziness is worse than cancer. So, wala taniya wala yani wanyan, do not be lazy. Do not be sluggish. Stand up. Fight it. Wala taniya fi dhikri, and do not be lazy in my remembrance. Again, rely on spirituality. Rely on the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So coming back to this message here, that we find Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam requesting the presence of Harun alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah approving the presence of Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. But as much as his brother Harun was articulate, as much as his brother Harun was eloquent, but who was privileged of being Kalimullah? Who was honored? It was the Musa alayhi salam with the stammer and the stutter. And what's the message? no form of disability will bar you from Allah. That is how the world will judge you. I know in California, I spent 3 Ramadans there, there was a doctor who had developed a skin condition, and he was, I think he was a pediatrician or some other profession he had, but he was a specialist in the medical field. And the medical fraternity would not approve his presence in the pediatric wards, because they're saying the color of your skin or the condition of your skin or the current sickness that you have could scare children. So it could have a negative psychological impact on the mind of a child. Many a times people invite you to a particular function, then they have dress code. You know, this is how you'll come, this is how you'll behave, this is how you'll arrive. So these are barriers how humans interact with each other. Musa alayhi salam's request was approved, and Harun alayhi salam was sent with him. But the privilege and the honor of communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was given to Musa alayhi salam. Again, I'm reminded of something that I recited, I read, you know, and we're not moving from one ayah today. We're just not getting across this one verse of the Quran. And this is mentioned in Sirat al-Mustafa, and you could read it under the chapter of Isra and Mi'raj, under the topic of Musa alayhi salat. Well, it's there under the nukat of Isra and Mi'raj. So when our Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to the heavens and he ascended the heavens, and we know this was real, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الرُّؤْيَا الَّتِي أَرَيْنَاكَ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَالشَّجَرَةَ الْمَلْعُونَةَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. So when Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam returned with this great gift of salah, and he first met with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, and again we learned from our honorable, respected Ustad Mufti Ridha al-Haq Sahab, and this was amazing. He used to create this Arabic combination, you know, he put words together and make this majmu'ah, combination of different words, so that you could remember sequence. So when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam went in Mi'raj, I recall very vividly Mufti Sahab had made the combination of the word a'yahuma. Now, a'yahuma, one is just to make a combination, but it's not meaningful. Then anybody can make a majmu'ah, you know. But this is a meaningful majmu'ah, right? And likewise about the shara'it for Bay Salam. Mufti Sahib had made a majmu'ah. The scholars and the ulama will know what I'm talking about. So he had made this combination of a'yahuma, which means that the Burraq had tired both Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Jibreel. A'yahuma, on the first sky, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam met with Adam alayhi salam. On the second sky, with Isa alayhi salam. On the third sky, with Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam. On the fourth sky, with Idris alayhi salam. A'ya. On the fifth sky, with Harun alayhi salam. On the sixth sky, with Musa alayhi salam. And on the seventh sky, with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. A'yahuma. Anyway, just came. By the way, he also had mentioned to us, for example, the word Muhsin in Arabic. Muhsin in Arabic. All the letters there refer to fish. So if you want to remember the different words, this is becoming a bit of a dars here. I can just see this here. This is becoming a dars. Forgive me. So all the different words in Arabic for fish. So mahi, hoot, samak, noon. Muhsin. Mahi, hoot, samak, noon. There's so many others. I'm not going to move forward here. So anyway, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went in Mi'raj, and then he received the 50 salah, and then he came down and he met with Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, who's referred to as Abu al-Anbiya, the father of prophets. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and what did you receive? And he said 50 salah, and he said, congratulations, may Allah bless you and your ummah. And then he came down and he met Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what have you received? And he said, I have received 50 salah. And then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, no, this will be very colossal and it would be challenging for your ummah. Go back and ask Allah reduction. And in Surah al-Mustafa, the author writes so beautifully, Ajib, and I'm talking of the status and the position and the profile of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the beauty of our deen, that why did Ibrahim alayhi salam not take the courage to refer Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam back to Allah and ask for reduction in the 50 salah? And why did Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam initiate the process? Whereas Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the great grandson of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And he says Ibrahim was Khalil, and Maqam-e Khullat is Taslim, and Musa was Kalim, and Maqam-e Kalam is Naz. Okay, let me try and simplify this. So Ibrahim was Khalil. Khalil means friend. And there's something amazing here to understand. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah said, I made Ibrahim a friend. I made. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ. Allah is the fa'il. Right? And there's a narration in Targheeb where the Sahaba were talking and they said, but so strange, Isa is Ruhullah and Musa is Kalimullah and Ibrahim is Khalilullah. And just then Nabi Sassim came and he said, I heard your expressions and I heard your amazements and I heard how astonished you are, and what you said is correct. Ibrahim is Khalil alayhi salatu was salam, and Musa is Kalim, and Isa is Ruhullah. Wa ana Habibullahi wala fakhar. And I am Habibullah, and I say this without pride. And Sayyidina Musa was Kaleem. Kaleem was one who spoke. And often that relationship of communication breeds a sense of a more casual relationship. Listen, go to so-and-so and tell him I sent you. We're on the phone daily. We use these expressions. You can go there, use my name. When you get there, to just tell the security, Mr. Mullah sent you. That's it. Just use my name. So Musa alayhi salam was Kaleem. And that was Maqam and Naz. And that was the relationship he had. So he told Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, go up. While Ibrahim was Khalil and Khullat, request Taslim. Anyway, what I was saying in the whole scenario and in this whole discussion, minhum man kallam Allahu wa rafa'a ba'dahum darajat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had spoken to some. What an honor and what a privilege. Allah makes mention in the 25th juz that no person can speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illa min wara'i hijabin aw yursila rasulan fayuhiya bi'idhnihi ma yasha. But this was the honor and the privilege that Allah had conferred upon Musa alayhi salam. So when Musa alayhi salam went to Madian, and this is mentioned in the footnotes of Tafsir Uthmani, when he went to Madian and then he wedded the daughter of Shuayb alayhi salam and he stayed there for 10 years, right? أَبْعَدُ الْأَجَلَيْنِ أَيَّمَ الْأَجَلَيْنِ قَضَيْتُ فَلَا عُدْوَانَ عَلَيْهِ. He had the choice between 8 or 10, and he completed the full ajal, and that is the nature of Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam. They would deliver to the absolute level. And then he was returning with his spouse, and she was in the family way, and the footnotes of Tafsir Uthmani suggest she was fairly advanced in the family way as well. And so she was coming, and the scholars deduce so much. He said, they lost their way. So he said, inni, I see fire. So, la'alli atikum minha bi-khabarin. Perhaps I can get some information from there. And I will bring some flames from there, la'allakum tastalun, so that you can warm yourself up. So la'allakum tastalun indicates that it was very close. La'alli atikum minha bi-khabar indicates that they had lost their sense of direction. These are the different deductions the scholars have made. So he's returning from Madian and he's going back. His wife is with him. She's on the family way. There's this anxiety and excitement. And here he's seen this light and he starts going towards it. Nudiya min shati'i al-wadi al-aymani fil buq'ati al-mubarakah min ash-shajarati ayya Musa inni ana Allahu rabbul alamin. And suddenly there's this proclamation from this blessed land of Tuwa. That is why Allah told the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, amongst the proof of his prophethood is that he narrates the happenings of Tuwa although he was not there. وَمَا كُنْتَ بِجَانِبِ الْغَرْبِيِّ إِذْ قَضَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى الْأَمْرَ وَمَا كُنْتَ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. You were not there at Mount Tur when whatever happened with Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Yet you give all these narrations. وَإِنْ كُنْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. You were unaware of the tale of Yusuf alayhi salam. Yet you narrate it in detail. مَا كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُهَا أَنْتَ وَلَا قَوْمُكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ هَذَا. Neither you knew the tale of Nuh nor your nation. Yet you narrate it in detail. وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ يُلْقُونَ أَقْلَامَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ يَكْفُلُ مَرْيَمْ. وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ يَخْتَصِمُونَ. I was hoping to get there, but lo and behold, doesn't look like we're going to get there. You were not present at the time when they were casting the pens to decide who will raise Maryam alayha salatu wassalam. So as he goes, فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. Allah said, listen, from Baba Istif'al, فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهِ. Verily I am Allah. The scholars of tafsir say this proclamation, this declaration was not only heard by the ears of Musa alayhi salam, but by the entire anatomy of Musa alayhi salam. The entire anatomy of Musa alayhi salatu was salam had responded. And like Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani writes there in Tafsir Uthmani, Musa se poocho den khuda ki lene gaye aag mil gayi nabuwat. Ask Musa alayhi salam how kind Allah is, that he went to find a light and a flame and he returned what prophet would. I used to tell my students, you know, some of you come here to study and you return with a bride. Okay, that's not really, I don't know how, you know, I used to mention to some of them, after you complete studies here, I don't know how much you know of your kitab, but you can be tour guides here in South Africa. Anyway, minhum man kallama Allahu wa rafa'a ba'dahum darajat. I'm just going to, you know what, move on from there directly so that I could move on to another discussion. I wanted to, of course, speak of Ayatul Kursi, but it's going to take up too much of my time. But of course, we know this is أَعْظَمُ الْآيَةِ فِي الْقُرْآنِ لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. Neither sleep nor slumber overpowers Allah. I often say every human weakness is a perfect moment to reflect over the perfection of Allah. Every time you're tired, say, Ya my Allah, لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. Allah, you're never tired. Every time you have a crave or a yearning for your partner, أَنَّا يَكُونُ لَهُ وَلَدْ وَلَمْ تَكُنْ لَهُ صَاحِبَةٌ. Every time you have a need for your child, then وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا. Every time you're hungry, وَهُوَ يُطْعِمُ وَلَا يُطْعَمْ. So every time you experience a weakness in your body, and our whole life is that, our whole life. You know, you sit down and iftar, if you didn't have a good workout for the day, you bloated, you're feeling heavy, now you're feeling uneasy, or if you didn't sleep well, then you're feeling miserable, or probably this or that. Small glitches in our day-to-day becomes an impediment for us. So every imperfection in man is an opportunity to reflect over the majesty and the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, you know, just to speak on something that Allah focuses and discusses here in the second page of the third juz, and that is the tale of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now this is also a very, very amazing tale, a very, very amazing tale. And from this we learn the etiquettes of debate as well. So Allah says, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ أَنْ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ. Have you not seen the person who argued with Abraham regarding his Lord simply because he had kingdom? That's the world today. أَنْ كَانَ ذَا مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. Allah speaks of Walid ibn Mughira in Surah Noon. He's arrogant. He has nine evils. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, I don't know of any person whom Allah has exposed in the Quran more than Walid ibn Mughira. Nine evils. And Allama Nasaf in Madarik al-Tanzil writes so amazing. Because Walid ibn Mughira made the derogatory reference, wal'iyadu billah, wal'iyadu billah, wal'iyadu billah, of insanity to our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, imagine you are leveling the accusation of insanity to a human whom Wahab ibn Munabbih rahmatullah alayhi said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَمْ يُعْطِ جَمِيعَ النَّاسِ مِنْ بَدْءِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَىٰ إِنْقِضَائِهَا مِنَ الْعَقْلِ فِي جَنْبِ عَقْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَّا كَحَبَّةِ رَمْلٍ مِنْ بَيْنِ رِمَالِ الدُّنْيَا. Right? Qadi Ayad has made mention of it in Shifa. That Allah, combined intelligence of the entire world is like one dust particle. And the exclusive intellect of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like the desert of the entire world. Now to a being with such intelligence and wisdom, wal'iyadu billah, you are accusing Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of being insane. So Allama Nasafi in Madarik al-Tanzil writes so amazing, I was blown away by this. He says the system of Allah is, when you send salutations on Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, and let us all send salawat, I ask every listener and viewer, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik wa zid wa tahannan wa tarahham ala habibina wa qudwatina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. In fact, let me say something while I'm at this point. I often say to people, and I give the simple formula. Unfortunately, we don't have within us, some of us, Allah has given us the tawfiq, some don't, to send salawat on Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a large quantity. So I say to people, at least do this much, that every time you hear the name of Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, send salawat three times. So if we are weak and we are unable to devote and dedicate time, and Allah forgive us, because that is actually a form of bukhl in the hadith, a form of being maizin, at least when the name of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned, then at that time send salawat thrice, and it is so simple and it is so easy. So Allama Nasafi says, whoever sends salawat on the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam once, Allah will send 10 mercies on him. And whoever tries to malign or blemish his personality, Allah will expose 10 of his evils. Lamma aaba al-walidu an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marratan wasafahu Allah bi'ashrati asma sabiqan. Lamma aaba al-walidu an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kadhiban. He accused, and he was a liar, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wal-iyadu billah, was never insane. He was the most intelligent, most amazing, most profound. So it was a lie. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded by unveiling and exposing his dirty linen to the extent that Allah said, Zanim, that his nasab and his lineage is not even established. It's written in the Hashia of Jalalain. He then goes to his mother and he says, listen, inna Muhammadan wasafani bitis'i sifatin a'rifuhunna ghayra at-tasih. Oops. How are we? No, but then the... So anyway, Jazakallah khair. Waleed ibn Mughira went to his mom and he told his mom that, listen, the Quran of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has exposed 9 of my evils. I'm familiar with 8. I cannot say anything negative about that. Is the truth about me. That is it. But the 9th one, I don't know. And the 9th one has unveiled your immorality and has opened up and exposed your disloyalty. And she says, yes, what his Quran has said is the truth. The man who you perceive to be your father is not your biological father. You can read it, it's in the Hashia of Jalalain. Anyway, so I was saying, what did the Quran say? An kana dha malin wa banin. Just because he's got money and children, he can talk. What's that poem of Imam Shafi? I just like marvel at it. An taqatid darahimu unasan kanu sukuta. Suddenly money made some people speak who were previously dumb and mute. Antaqati darahim, antaqa yuntiqu intaq, mutaaddi baba ifal. Antaqati darahim unasan kanu sukuta. Whole life the man never featured. Suddenly he climbed the ladder, economic ladder, commercial ladder. He's got some titles, he's got some degrees, he's made some money. The man is yelling, he's screaming, he's talking, he's raving. And previously he was like, lips were sealed. That's the world in which we live. So the Quran said, An atahu Allahu al-mulk, an kana dha malin wa banin. Kalla innal insana la yatgha. Arrahu staghna. Man becomes arrogant when he perceives independence. Now I'm done. I'm done with my ustads. My final exams is over now. So now it's alright. If I greet him, it's fine. If I don't, tough luck. No, nothing to my students here in the studio. But you know what I mean? So when you think you've crossed what you need, that is man's nature. As soon as the Quran said, Arrahu staghna. When he feels he becomes independent, arrogance sets into him. But he is, the weakness and the feebleness in man is indescribable. Anyway, so he challenges and he argues with Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And what does he argue? He argues regarding the tawheed and the oneness and the rububiyyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we learn the adab and the etiquettes of munadara. So, one thing I want to say here and sound a word of caution. Sometimes when people engage with us, we get on the defense from the beginning. That's not the correct way. Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikma wal maw'idhati al hasana. The last option is jadilhum. We start off with jadilhum. And even there Allah made it muqayyad. Billati hiya ahsan. When you argue, وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. You can't paint everyone with a common brush. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ. Those that are the polytheists, those that have no concept of faith, it's a separate. But those that are coming with a sense of faith and understanding and maturity, قُلْ يَا أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. So there is a way in which we engage with people, invite people with wisdom, with sound advice, and if the need compels you to argue, then argue, but argue in a good way. Argue in a good way. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam engages with him. إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّيَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. In fact, today, what was recited in probably most of the masajid was the seven Jews. And in that also is the teachings of Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam to his nation. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ آزَرَ أَتَتَّخِذُ أَصْنَامًا آلِهَا إِنِّي أَرَاكَ وَقَوْمَكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Look at how important good methodology is. Good methodology. I often say, there's this profound quote in the English language that they say, 10% of our conflict is due to difference of opinion. And 90% is because of the wrong body language. 10% of our conflict is difference of opinion. But you've seen that aggression. You've seen that flaming cheeks. You've seen his body language. You've seen what he was trying to... What was he saying? The body language. The body language says a lot. So look at how Ibrahim alayhi salam engaged his nation. And we learn so much. I think I'm going to just focus on this and time is going to, you know, take the better of me. Probably won't able to move on to anything else. But be it as it may, even if we take this message and what we discussed on today earlier, you know, so be it, because the aim is to empower ourselves through the Quran. So let me mention this, come back to this, and tie it up with different verses of the Quran on the etiquettes of discussion and debate. Our deen is wholesome. There isn't an area and aspect but that our deen has given us guidance. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, he tried to make his nation understand the foolish nature of their worship. Now, our deen says, in fact, we read it today also in the Quran, وَلَا تَصُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَصُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Do not abuse or insult the deities which people worship besides Allah, because then they will also insult Allah. Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani writes under the tafsir of this ayah, it's not permissible to insult the gods of anyone. It is, however, permissible to explain or reveal their weaknesses in an intellectual dialogue. But not in a condescending way, not in a derogatory way, not in a mocking way, not in a scoffing way. And by the way, I must tell you something else here. There is a tafsiri nukta. If you look at the verses coming from the top, Allah said, اِتَّبِعْ مَا أُوْحَيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, follow the revelation that has come to you. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and turn away from the polytheists. So Allah is using a singular phrase, and then Allah switches to a plural phrase. Allah didn't say وَلَا تَسُبَّ, Allah said وَلَا تَسُبُّ. And the scholars say, why has Allah switched from singular to plural? Because when it comes to the prohibition of not using vulgar, it applies to everyone but Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was never vulgar in his life. There was never vulgar in his life, leave alone vulgar to the deities of anyone else. There was never obscene language. That is why Allah directed a plural to you and I and not to our Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Lam yakun ras. Look at the teachings of our Quran. Look at the teachings of our Quran. Will we still waste our time reading these other novels and these other things and perusing sites and perusing unsavory material and going through, flipping through other things and not trying to understand? By Allah, I cannot tell you, and probably I'll die not, I won't know how to express this here, the spiritual ecstasy and the euphoria that I experience when you're studying and you come across an amazing point and reflection and a correlation and a rub. It's just like you want to scream out. You just want to scream out. So, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ, Allah switches to plural, because that's for you and I. Because vulgar was never... Listen to the speech of our youth today. You will be appalled by the vulgarity. You will be appalled by how many professional people. I'm standing in a queue to board the flight and going through passport control, and these are like high flyers, aristocratic, well attired and vulgar, and I turn my gaze. Of course people get offended because it's almost encroaching on their privacy. But foul language, foul language. And this is like just become a norm. You know, they used to say that he swears like a sailor, but I don't think it's a sailor anymore. You know, I used to say probably it's a mechanic, but probably now it's a young man. I don't know what's the right analogy, but you'll be appalled, appalled by foul language. It's just beyond description. So it's not permissible to use condescending language, because then they're going to say nasty things regarding Allah. Now we go against the injunction of the Quran, and then we say we're defending the deen. But Allah said, don't attack the deities of others. Yes, if you want to discuss it, then intellectually make them understand, look here, this is what you're worshipping. Where is the sanity? You know, Allama Nasafi makes mention in Surah Taghabun, and again, I just like, Ya Rab, these are mulham words. This you can't think of. So when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came as a prophet, then they frowned on his prophethood because he was a mortal. And they said, no, you're a human. And they said, no. So Allah said, if those walking on the earth were angels, we'll send a prophet as an angel. But if those that inhabit the earth are humans, then the prophet that comes in needs to be a human. قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَلَائِكَةٌ يَمْشُونَ مُطْمَئِنِّينَ لَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَلَكًا رَسُولًا. If those inhabiting the earth were angels, then we'll send an angel as a prophet, but those that are walking here. So he writes, and you'll be amazed by this quotation of his. It's in Surah Taghabun, Alama Nasafi makes mention of it. He says, أَنْكَرُوا رِسَالَةَ الْبَشَرِ وَمَا أَنْكَرُوا عِبَادَةَ الْحَجَرِ.
Allah, Allah, Subhanallah.
أَنْكَرُوا رِسَالَةَ. They frowned on the prophethood of a human, but they didn't object on the divinity of a stone. So this didn't gel with their logic. No. There's conflicting contradiction. There's a dichotomy. There's inconsistency. You cannot reconcile. How can you be a human and a prophet? It doesn't make sense. But it made perfect sense to be a stone and a god. This is when your brain is shut. May Allah protect us. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana. Allah, let not the hearts deviate ba'da idh hadaytana. Because when Allah causes the heart to deviate, then it blocks off. It blocks off. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, how he engaged his people. Falamma ra'a kawkaba, he seen a star. He said, Hada Rabbi biza'mikum. Jalalain writes, Hada Rabbi, this is my God. This is never Ibrahim thinking this. Wal iyadu billah, he's Abu al-Anbiya. He's the man who came and established Tawheed. Where can Ibrahim alayhi salam ever think this? But this was now reaching out. You know, sometimes with the children, when you don't want them to eat something and you want them to eat something, then you take the medicine. Whether it's sweet or it's not sweet, but you make a frown and a scowl and you say it's unpleasant and it's really, you know, I abhor it, I dislike it. Then you taste, this is palatable. Mamam, nice. Palatable. Right? I have another thought in my mind. It's all, but it's intricate. It's in Bayanul Quran. Leave it. Let's move on here. So, no, but we're not going to end up here. I will tell it to you guys. Okay. So, what I was saying is that Hada Rabbi, this is my Lord, bizaqmikum, by your assumption. Now, we learn in that this is how you give da'wah, in a diplomatic, in a gentle way. Because this is the eyes, this was their vision, this is how they were analyzing things. So yeah, this is a star, this looks great, this looks brilliant, this looks amazing. Probably this is a god. Hada Rabbi, Hada Rabbi. Falamma afal, but as it started dwindling and disappearing, قَالَ لَا أُحِبُّ الْآفِلِينَ. I don't like this God that comes and goes, man. This one is disappearing. فَلَمَّا رَأَى الْقَمَرَ بَازِغًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّ. But when the moon came, now this is real stuff. This is great stuff. This is bright. This is brilliant. You know that one, I've quoted that in many of my talks where the guy made dua for someone. Allah give you, okay, let's not lose focus here. هَذَا رَبِّ. This is the moon. This is my Lord. فَلَمَّا أَفَلْ. Look at the change. And he's giving da'wat here. He's giving da'wat. The ulama say, when Pharaoh told Musa alayhi salam, قَالَ فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى. So he didn't say, our Lord. He said, who's your people's Lord? Musa alayhi salam didn't say, he said, رَبُّنَا, all our Lord. Then Pharaoh said, "Inna rasulakum alladhi ursila ilaykum la majnoon." This messenger who's been sent, he is na'udhu billah insane. So what did they say? قَالَ رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. If you're giving da'wah to someone and he drops down, then you also start shying away. Here he is, أَطْلَقَ السَّهْمَ الثَّانِي. He releases another arrow. And what's the last arrow in a king's quiver? Violence. When all fails, because the other people don't have. So لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ. I will lock you up. قَالَ أَوَلَوْ جِئْتُكَ بِشَيْءٍ مُبِينٍ. So in that there was a subtle doubt. So he said, well, the moon has disappeared. لَإِنْ لَمْ يَهْدِنِي رَبِّي لَأَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِّينَ. If my Lord doesn't guide me, then I will end up amongst the deviant people. فَلَمَّا رَأَ الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي هَذَا أَكْبَرٌ. And of course there is that Nahwi question here, that when Shams is Muannasa Sima'i, how come there's Hada? But we'll leave the ulama here to reflect of it. They say that it was brought mudakkar because the khabar is mudakkar. That's mentioned in Jalalain. هَذَا رَبِّي هَذَا أَكْبَرٌ. This is my Lord. This is the most brilliant. فَلَمَّا أَفَلَتْ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. But when the sun also disappeared, he said, listen folks, listen my nation, I'm free, I disassociate with all those that you ascribe. So in that he made them understand, he came across in a very diplomatic way. That's the same reason the ulama say that when he had broken the idols and he hung the idol on the big, he hung the axe on the big idol. And then when they came and they said, who did this? He said, I don't know, this is brother, they call him Ibrahim, man. Yeah. قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا فَتًا يَذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. There's this gentleman, this youngster, everybody, yeah, some Ibrahim, some Ibi, I don't know what's it, but people are talking about him. يَا فَأْتُوا بِهِ عَلَىٰ أَعْيُنِ النَّاسِ. Call him up, summon him and we can engage him. And then they asked him, أَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. So Ibrahim, have you done this? So there's a lot of explanations, right? One is the hadith of Bukhari, كَذِبْتُ ثَلَاثَ كَذِبَاتِ. One is, بَلْ فَعَلَهُ. Make waqdah. كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ. كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ إِن كَانُوا يَنْتِقُونَ. And the other answer is that he said, no, this big idol did it. And he made isnad, he directed it to the idol. Whereas he did it. And the scholars say this was not a lie, this was tawriya, this was a stratagem. Which basically is, like for example, a child is not behaving in class, so the teacher says, now you want me to expel you. So he says, no, but I didn't ask you anything. I didn't ask you anything. You want me to penalize you. No, but I didn't say anything. Your action is suggesting that. So because you revered this idol the most, that provoked me to do what I did. So this idol was the cause. So you make isnad majazi, a metaphorical reference. And there also in the footnotes of Jalalain is written amazing, فَإِنَّ مَنْ لَا يَدْفَعْ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ الْفَأْسَ كَيْفَ يَدْفَعُ عَنْ عَابِدِهِ الْبَأْسَ. فَإِنَّ مَنْ لَا يَدْفَعْ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ الْفَأْسَ كَيْفَ يَدْفَعُ عَنْ عَابِدِهِ الْبَأْسَ. The idol that cannot remove an axe from its neck, where is it going to avert a tragedy from its worshipper? So, just to mention this and bring it to a culmination, Ibrahim alayhi salam said, wait, the easier way out is, فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ. Let's ask the gods, whoever is remaining, let's speak to them. And that was his hikmat-e amali, the ulama say. He drove them into a corner. He drove them into a corner. So when Ibrahim alayhi salam said, listen, you blaming me, I'm saying this here, I'm saying the easiest way out is ask the gods. ثُمَّ نُكِسُوا عَلَىٰ رُؤُوسِهِمْ. They dropped their heads down. Ibrahim, you know, man, our God still don't know how to speak, man. لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا هَؤُلَاءِ يَنْتِقُونَ. Ibrahim, man, you know, like, don't mock us, man. Don't make me out like that. My gods are still not speaking. So he said, and that's precisely what he wanted them to verbalize. You saying they can't talk. أُفِّلْ لَكُمْ وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Then woe be to you, what one breath you say they cannot speak. أَفَلَا يَرَوْنَ أَلَّا يَرْجِعُ إِلَيْهِمْ قَوْلًا. أَفَلَا يَرَوْنَ أَلَّا يَرْجِعُ إِلَيْهِمْ قَوْلًا. وَلَا يَمْلِكُ لَهُمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا. Don't they see these idols can't even reply? They cannot even reply. Then the Quran gives the example in the 13 Jews in Surah Ra'd, والذين يدعون من دونه لا يستجيبون لهم بشيء. Whoever you supplicate besides Allah cannot answer you. إلا بات كر like باسط, a man who spreads كفيه his two palms. So here's water. كباسط كفيه إلى الماء. He comes to the water and he says, water, water, really I'm thirsty. This is the analogy of the Quran. Goes to a well or to a spring and he says, water, water. وما هو ببالغه وما هو ببالغه وما هو ببالغه. And this water will never reach their mouth in any way. وما دعاء الكافرين إلا في ضلال. The supplication of the disbelievers is nothing but in error and deviation. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam takes them into the corner. They admit that, you know what, our gods cannot speak. He says, well, that's exactly where I want to ask you. أُفِّلْ لَكُمْ وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُ. Imagine, they drop their heads down. You admit, you confess, you concede the inability, yet hidayat doesn't come. That is when the heart has been shut and deprivation. So to conclude this here, he says to Ibrahim alayhi salam, says, who's my Lord? إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّيَ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. Watch those couplets of Imam Shafi. It's a long poem, if I can recall the particular stanza. فَسِيحًا إِذَا مَا كَانَ فِي ذِكْرِ رَبِّهِ وَفِيمَا فَسِيحًا إِذَا مَا كَانَ فِي ذِكْرِ رَبِّهِ. That fortunate is that one, when he speaks about Allah, his tongue flows. And when it comes to praising others, he's dumb. He's tongue twisted. He's limited. Today we're the direct opposite. That when it comes to speaking to Allah or about Allah or speaking about the greatness, our vocab, our knowledge, our understanding is limited. And people can speak about trivial, insignificant, unimportant things for hours and hours. Ar-Rahmanu fas'al bihi khabira. Ar-Rahman fas'al bihi khabira. If you want to know who Allah is, ask the khabir, ask those that are learned, ask those that have the knowledge. So Ibrahim alayhi salam says, Rabbi alladhi yuhyi wa yumit. My Lord is the one who gives life and causes death. And what does he say? Ana uhyi wa umit. I also give life and cause death. And Allama Abu al-Hasan al-Nadwi writes so beautiful, wa kana al-maliku balidan jidda. And the king was, you know what, the pinnacle of stupidity and foolishness. He couldn't understand the basic definition of life and death. Fada'a rajulan faqatalahu wa da'a al-akhar fatarakahu. So he called one innocent person and killed him, and he says, I've given death. And then he called a person on whom there was a death sentence, and he freed him, and he said, I've given him life. And the ulama write, this did not satisfy the definition of life and death by any person. But again, the wisdom of the engagement and the debate of Ibrahim alayhi salam, he didn't stagnate at this level. No. We can have an argument on this. We can call up anyone. You don't call that life. Let's see what the meaning of life and death. He didn't stagnate. He moved on. He didn't. This is the adab of munawara. This is the beauty of it. Ibrahim alayhi salam could have argued with him that, listen, this is my Lord gives life and death, life literally. Ijadu shay'in min al-adam, that's the definition of khalq, is to bring into existence something from nothing. Man can only be referred to as a maker, and most probably a breaker more than a maker, by the way. But man can never be called a creator. And wherever the word khalq has been used for man in the Quran, it refers to sun'at and not khalq in its literal sense. There's verses of the Quran that allude to it, but the scholars tell us that the khalq refers to sun'at there and not khalik, because khalik means to bring into existence something from nothing, and that's only Allah. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ وَهِيَ دُخَانٌ فَقَالَ لَهَا وَلِلْأَرْضِ اِطْيَا طَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْهًا. It was nothing but smoke, and Allah made it into existence. So Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't stagnate and say, no, well, this is not the definition. He moved on. He said, قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِي بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَأْتِي بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ. Simple. My Allah causes the sun to rise from the east and set in the west. We're just asking you to reverse the whole exercise one day. فَأْتِي بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ. فَأْتِي بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ. Some ulama have even written, why didn't Namrud throw this challenge back to Ibrahim alayhi salam? You're telling me to make the sun rise from the west. Why don't you tell your Allah? He said, because in the heart of hearts, he knew that Allah has that power. And that would add to his humiliation and his defeat. That would add to his defeat. He was already defeated. Right? When the magicians came in the time of Musa alayhi salam to challenge, so they had to, you know what, thrill Pharaoh and everything. So you get the boxers, they fight in. I devote this to the president of the country. Meanwhile, they're devoting it to money. Right? But this is fighting for my nation. So when they were casting their staff, so what did they say? فَأَلْقَوْ حِبَالَهُمْ وَعِصِيَّهُمْ وَقَالُوا بِعِزَّةِ فِرْعَوْنَ. Can you imagine Pharaoh's glory and his ego at that time? إِنَّا لَنَحْنُ الْغَالِبُونَ. Today we reign supreme. We reign supreme. And so they cast their staffs and they cast their robes to thrill Pharaoh and to give him this excitement. And then suddenly when they seen the truth, like Allama Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi says, ذَابَ فَنُّنَا أَمَامَهُ كَمَا يَدُوبُ النَّدَى أَمَامَ الشَّمْسِ. Our skill disappeared in front of the miracle of Musa, like how the dew melts when the sun rises. And then they drop their heads down. And Ibn Kathir writes in his tafsir, he says, these people were disbelievers in the morning, they were opponents to the Prophet, and they were magicians. And in the evening of that same day, they were believers, Sahaba and Shuhada. In the evening of that same day, فَمَا الْفَرْقُ بَيْنَ الْإِلْقَائِينَ. Ibn Kathir writes, what a contrast between the two drops. One was a drop of the staff, and that's why the ulama say, okay, I'm stopping now. فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَ. Allah didn't say they dropped their heads. أَلْقَى يُلْقِي إِلْقَى. Their heads were dropped. Meaning they were so mesmerized, they had no choice but to drop down. Then they looked at this, they had no, Allah didn't say kharru, Allah said ulqiya. They were dropped, meaning this was just beyond them. And what they said, amanna bi rabbil alameen, we brought iman on the Lord of all the worlds. So Pharaoh again took the opportunity to just massage his ego. He said, iyaya anaytum, you mean the Lord of all the worlds, myself? They're like, no, Rabbi Musa wa Harun. I used to mention to the students, he's like, you know what, you call in the class, you say the first position goes to Muhammad. No, not you, you came out last, it's the other Muhammad, sorry. Can you imagine that insult? Like the wrong Muhammad comes out first here, and he's like, you know, this is coming my way. So they say, we brought iman on the Lord of all the worlds. And Pharaoh is like, me. So they said, no, not you, Rabbi Musa wa Harun. But when iman enters the heart, my respected listeners, then nothing can stop you. So Pharaoh throws his threat, and he throws out his challenge. لَوْ قَطِّعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ وَلَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ فِي جُذُوعِ النَّخْلِ. I'll sever your right hand, I'll cut your left leg, and I'll hang you on date palms. And then you must decide who can punish more, me or the Lord of Musa. وَلَتَعْلَمُنَّ أَيُّنَا أَنَا أَمْ رَبُّ مُوسَى أَشَدُّ عَذَابًا وَأَبْقَى. I will punish you and teach you. And what did they say? لَنْ نُؤْثِرَكَ عَلَى مَا جَاءَنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالَّذِي فَطَرَنَا فَقْضِ مَا أَنْتَ قَاض. I don't know how to translate فَقْضِ مَا أَنْتَ قَاض, but the loose translation is, you're free to do what you want. Why right hand and left leg? Go for both the hands and both the legs. Anyway, we learn from this year the etiquettes of conveying the message of the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us connected to this divine book of His. May we be amongst those people who can spread this message of the Quran. May we be amongst those people. أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. Mufti Shafiz Ab Rahmatullah Ali writes under this ayah, a person is dead, we revived him through wahi and revelation. That revelation, he must take it and walk with it. يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. And he writes, our deen is not limited to a location. Our deen must be understood, translated and exhibited. As believers, we need to take this nur and yamshi bihi fi nas. Allah grant us all the understanding. Wa sallallahu wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.